Bible teaches that Christians bear fruit. But how do you know if that's happening in your life? Well, today here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah shares five ways to know if you're being fruitful. Evidence that goes right to the heart of who you are and how you live. From his series on the fundamentals of authentic Christianity, here's David to conclude his message, Dusty Shoes, Living a Productive Life.
And we thank you for joining us today. This is the Friday edition of Turning Point. Our last teaching from John chapter 15, we're talking about living a productive life. What does it mean to be fruitful? And here is John 15 as we open our Bibles together.
So many times we think that anytime there's suffering, it's bad. Lord, preserve me from suffering. Now, I have to honestly confess, I don't ever sign up for suffering. I don't ever get up in the morning and say, Lord, send suffering into my life today. I have prayed for patience, and then I learned that's not a very good thing to do because the Bible says tribulation works patience. So when you pray for patience, you get tribulation, so I don't recommend you do that. But suffering comes often for a follower of Christ for the purpose of pruning. Malcolm Muggeridge, in his book, Jesus Rediscovered, says it this way. Suppose you eliminated suffering. What a dreadful place this world would be. The world would be the most ghastly place. Now listen. Because everything that corrects the tendency of this unspeakable little creature to feel overimportant and overpleased with himself would disappear. This little creature's bad enough now, he said, but he would be absolutely intolerable if he never suffered. He's absolutely right. So, fruitfulness is the mark of our genuine faith. It's the measure of our walk with God. It's the motivation behind God's discipline. And number four, it's the method of touching other people. This is a very important concept from this chapter. When we bear fruit, it's not for ourselves. It's for others. When we are fruitful, when we are productive, it's not so that we can have more, so that we can enjoy more. You know, we're as a church across the world now, we're on this happiness trip. Have you noticed? Everybody wants what they can get from God for themselves. Everyone's talking about how Jesus Christ does this for me, and I get this from God and that from God. And when a person talks like that, they have evidently missed the purpose of the Christian faith. God never blesses us just for ourselves. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? If you are always looking at the vine so you can eat the fruit, you've missed it. How many of you have a computer here? Well, I've been a computer person for a long time, but I'm very focused on a computer. I don't do anything but type sermon manuscripts. Don't try to teach me another program. I don't want to learn it. I just want to type manuscripts. Just get me a typewriter. It's just kind of a better typewriter than I used to have. But I've discovered that computers can play tricks on you. I have an interesting thought this week. I typed my manuscript for this sermon early in the week. And as you can well imagine, the word fruit-bearing is in the manuscript many times. Well, I typed it, and then when I printed it out, I found out that my spell checker doesn't like the word fruit-bearing. It doesn't know the word fruit-bearing. So when I woke up the next morning to read my manuscript, my spell checker had changed every use of the word fruit-bearing to the word fruit-eating. I said, this thing is demon-possessed. It did exactly the opposite of what I was trying to say. I'm trying to teach everybody it's not about eating the fruit, it's about producing the fruit. And the computer is in league with the enemy trying to teach us the other thing. And you know what I had to do? I had to go through that manuscript and take the hyphen out of fruit bearing so that it would print, because it will not print fruit bearing with a hyphen. It'll change it to fruit eating. As soon as you turn your back for 1 minute, you just turn and it's gone and it's back up there like that. And you know, my computer is like Christians. My computer is like all of us. God created us to be fruit bearers, and we want to be fruit eaters. We want to consume all the goodness of God upon ourselves instead of using the goodness of God to bless others. And that's what fruitfulness is all about. It's the way we touch the world and other people. It's the way we minister to others. To say it the other way is that Christians are the only Christ the world will ever see. They don't see Christ without us. Christ has put it together that way. When you go into the vineyard, you don't marvel at the vine. You don't marvel at the branches. You see the fruit. But the fruit is impossible without the branch and the vine. The fruit is the evidence of the vine. The fruit is the demonstration that you are connected to the vine. And therefore, the fruit is the way you touch the world. What you do. The works that God gives you to do as a believer. Woodrow Wilson, one of our presidents, is said by some to have been the ugliest president we have ever had. And that's saying something if you've seen pictures of Abraham Lincoln. But Woodrow Wilson used to joke about it in his speeches, and had a little piece of poetry that he would read when he would get up to speak, and here's what he'd say. I know how ugly I are. I know my face ain't no star. But I don't mind it, because I'm behind it. It's the fellow in front who gets the jar. And you know, he was a great communicator. He took the thing he knew was what everybody else was thinking, and he used it as a humorous thing. But what a wonderful illustration that is for all of us. That oftentimes the people who are in front of us as Christians, they're the ones who get the jar. They see that we aren't really following Christ as we ought. And it doesn't make any sense to them. If Christ is all we say He is, shouldn't He make a difference in our life? Shouldn't we be different because we're connected to Him? I believe the Scripture tells us that we should. It is the mark of our genuine faith. It's the measure of our walk with God. It's the motivation behind God's discipline. It's the method of touching other people. It's the manifestation of Christ to the world. And number six, it's the means of glorifying the Father. Look down at the last verse, verse 8. This is what Jesus said. By this, my Father is glorified. By what? By us being productive. By us doing what God has called us to do. By us being fruitful. By us being connected to Jesus and letting the life of Jesus flow through us as we touch other people. By this, my Father is glorified. That's what Jesus said. Why is the Father glorified? Because when we do those things, we're doing the very things that the Father, through His Son Jesus, taught us to do. We're following the example of our Father. And there's not anything, even in human terms, that makes a father more proud than when they see their children doing what they've modeled before them as parents. All of us could probably have an illustration of that as parents. The other side of it is, when we don't do well, they sometimes model that too, don't they? Well, I believe our Father in heaven looks down upon us, and when He sees us doing the things He's called us to do, there's a sense of pride in His heart. We are His children, and we're following the way of the Father. Now, I've given you all these things. This is kind of the introduction, but the last part of this will go really quickly. If I am supposed to be a fruitful Christian, what in the world does that mean? How can I be fruitful? How am I fruitful? You know, I grew up in a sort of a fundamentalist family where if you talked about this subject, it only always meant one thing. It meant you were a soul winner, that you were winning other people to Christ. That was the only way you could be fruitful. Well, that's just one that I found in the New Testament where we are told certain things we do causes us to be fruitful. For instance, over in the book of Galatians, we have a listing of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that passage? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing I want you to put in your notes is this. How do I know if I'm bearing fruit? Well, one of the kinds of fruit is this. It's character, who I am. It's character, who I am. If you're the kind of a person who, before you met Christ, were filled with hate, and you were filled with sadness, and you didn't have anything in your life but anxiety, when Jesus Christ took over your life, He began to develop in you love and peace and joy and long-suffering. And those qualities don't come naturally, do they? They come as the result of our relationship with Christ. So one of the ways you know that you are a Christian, one of the ways you know that you are being fruitful is by your character, who you are. Then a second one is, we might call conduct, what I do. It says in the book of Colossians, here's a wonderful prayer, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, watch this, being fruitful in every good work. We have been studying this as we've gone through the Signs of Life campaign, and we have learned that while we are not saved by good works, we are saved for good works. There's not anything we can do to become a Christian because Christ has done it all. We just have to accept that. But once we are Christians, the Bible says He has called us to do good works, which will glorify Him. So how do I know if I'm fruitful? Well, my character's different, who I am. My conduct is different, what I do. And then thirdly, and this is, I didn't make this up, this is here in the scripture, it's contributions, what you give. I know that sounds like a mechanician of a Baptist preacher, but it's not. It's in the scripture. Philippians 4 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving or receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now watch this. Paul said, not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul said, thank you for taking care of me, for sending me your gift, and I'm all excited about that. But Paul said, I'm really more excited about the fact that because you did that, that is fruit that abounds to your account. That's an evidence of your fruitfulness. Friends, you can say it any which way you want. When we give to God, when we give to others, when we have an open hand of generous compassion, and we demonstrate that we aren't tied to our money, that is an evidence of God working in us. In fact, it may be a great evidence because it's one of the last things we want to let go of, isn't it? I remember hearing a story about a pastor who baptized a man, and the man forgot to take the wallet out of his trousers before he was baptized. And his wallet got all wet. And the pastor was glorying in the fact the first time he'd ever been able to baptize a wallet in his whole life. And he thought it was something he ought to keep doing because he thought it might have an impact on the pastor and on the church and on the man who was baptized. When we hold on to our resources for ourselves, that's not the God way. The God way is to hold everything in an open hand, remember? And God can take out of it what He wants, but He can also put back what He wants too. And my friend, when you do that, you'll never be a loser, because God will always put back a lot more than He'll ever take out. That's what it means to be a fruitful Christian. It's not only character, who I am, and conduct, what I do, and contributions, what I give, but here's the fourth one. It is communication, what I say. Listen to Hebrews. I'm not making this up. This is what Hebrews says. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now watch this. That is the fruit of our lips. Did you know that when you praise the Lord, that's fruitfulness? The book of Hebrews calls it the fruit of our lips. In the Old Testament, when they came to worship, they had to bring sacrifices, thank offerings. In the New Testament, we have praise offerings. And when we praise the Lord, the writer of Hebrews says that is the fruit of our lips. When we stand together and we worship the Lord, that is an evidence of our fruitfulness unto God. If you come to church, and it may not even be because you don't think you have a good voice, but if you come to church and you have no desire whatsoever to sing, and you stand jammed down in your skin back in the pew, and you don't want to sing and worship the Lord, something is wrong with you. That's not spiritually the way it works. I have this little thing I do every week, because I preach so much, and I say to myself when I come to church, I am not going to sing loud. I'm going to sing average. And then the choir starts, and then the orchestra starts, and then we begin to sing, and I'm singing at the top of my lungs. And I have to ask the Lord somehow to overcome all of the stuff I'm doing to my throat so I can preach, and He always does. There's something within the heart of a true follower of Christ that when worship begins, they get caught up in it and they want to worship the Lord. Do you do that? My friend, if you have no interest in that, if you have no desire, in it, if that actually turns you off, that is not a good sign. Not a good sign. Some of you say, well, I don't have a good voice. I just make a joyful noise. I've sat in front of you. I know who you are, but that's all right. I know who you are, but you're praising the Lord. Amen? And then here's the last one. It's character, who I am. It's conduct, what I do. It's contributions, what I give. It's communication, what I say. And finally, it's converts, who I win. The Bible tells us that when we become Christians, one of our first responsibilities is to share what Christ has done for us with others. Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 1:13, said, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now that I might have some fruit among you. What is he talking about? Some people come to Christ. Now, I know that many of us who are Christians are timid and shy, and we don't know how to do this, and we feel intimidated. Someone says we ought to share our faith, and we just, oh my goodness, I don't think I can do that. Let me tell you something. I went through college for 4 years. I went through seminary for 4 years, and God called me to start a church, and I had a moment when I realized I didn't know how to lead people to Christ. And I got a tape of Jim Kennedy's Evangelism Explosion, and I wrote it out, hand wrote it, and I memorized the questions, and I just said, Lord God, I know this is what you want me to do. I don't have any clue what I'm doing, but if you'll help me, I'll do it. And I began what was a lifelong practice of telling people about Jesus. And now wherever I go, I meet people that came to Christ here, people that came to Christ here. Sometimes I meet their children. And frustrating enough as it is, sometimes I meet their grandchildren. Way back in the early days of Fort Wayne, Indiana, I led a man to Christ by the name of Gene. He's the biggest man I think I've ever been around. He was 6'9". He weighed 300 pounds. And one of the most interesting things in my whole ministry was the night I baptized him. We won't go there. When I first met him, he had never made a decision to know Christ. When he became a Christian, he became so excited about his faith. One morning, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang in the parsonage, and I picked it up, and at the other end was Gene, and he said, congratulations, you're a grandfather. I said, what? Well, he said, it's true. You're a grandfather. I'm just kind of joking with you, but you know, you led me to Christ a few months ago, and today I had the opportunity to lead my very first person to Jesus Christ. I led this young lady to Christ, and since you're my spiritual father, I guess that makes you her spiritual grandfather. And the next Sunday, he brought her up to me in church, and he said to me in her presence, I want you to meet your grandfather. Well, we laugh at that, but it's true, isn't it? Do you know one thing about fruit that's interesting? Listen, fruit has within it the seeds of other fruit. Isn't that true? Fruit has within it the seeds of other fruit. So when you win someone to Christ, you have no idea where that's going to go. Fruit is character, who I am. It's conduct, what I do. It's contributions, what I give. It's communication, what I say, and it's converts, who I win. Now let me just put it to you this way. If I've given you this list of some of the basic things the New Testament says are fruitfulness, and you're not anywhere on the list, then I think on the authority of the Scripture, I would be right to tell you, you better go back and examine whether or not you're really in the faith. Because it's not possible for you to be a Christian and have none of these things in any way happen in your life. It's just not possible. That's what the New Testament tells us. By their fruit, you will know them. Am I trying to put you under a guilt trip so that you feel like if you're not a saint, you're not a Christian? That's not what I'm saying. Please hear me carefully. In every one of us who are connected with Christ, some of the energy of Christ has flowed into our life and is being evident in some way. And our heart and desire has always been that it might be more so. Amen? We want it to be more so. We want to be more like Christ. But if there isn't anything of Christ in our life at all, then on the authority of the Word of God, I need to tell you, you can't be a Christian unless you have some fruit in your life. You say, well, Pastor Jeremiah, that is very, very disconcerting to me. Well, if you're not a Christian, I hope it is. Because the only way you'll become a Christian is if, first of all, you discover that you're not a Christian. There's a lot of people that go to church every week. They file into the pews of our churches, and because they go to church, they think they're a Christian. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you know some Christian words. You're only a Christian if you're connected with Christ. How do you get connected with Christ? You invite Him into your life. You accept His forgiveness of your sin. And you say, Lord Jesus, come and live within me. And my comment to you today is, if Jesus Christ comes to live within you, He will start to make a difference in your life. Amen. And we're going to learn that He will make more and more difference in our lives the more and more we give our lives to Him. The secret to fruit bearing is abiding in Christ. That's really the key to this whole passage. But I hope I've motivated you to understand that God has not called us to a life of ease. This is not a walk in the park. We aren't saved just so we can sit back in our easy chair and relax all the way to heaven. If God has called us, He's given us a sense of His Spirit. And His Spirit today, I believe, is a spirit of urgency to reach out to the world with love and kindness, and most of all with the message of Almighty God who gave His Son to be our Savior. So my question to you today, are you sure that you're a Christian? Do you know? You're either a question mark or an exclamation point. One of the two.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us we're to constantly examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. That doesn't mean we should live a life of uncertainty, but we should live a life of certainty because we know what we know, because we know the Word of God.
Join us Monday as we continue the series Signs of Life on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.